For the country today, and the city, it is election day. For those that took an overdose of Viagra, it's erection day. But no matter how you pronounce it or what you've taken, it is today. Tuesday, November, whatever, 2nd, whatever. All across this country, citizens just like you, maybe a little bit fatter, are going to the polls to vote, or they may have already voted. Little Jimmy Kraken in Akron, Ohio, Betty Furness in Kansas City, Nevada, and Maury Stapleton in Ottawa, Canada. They all have... Wait a minute, you can't vote in Canada. Hey. It is your civic duty to vote. If you're not going to vote, you must be chastised and perhaps even burned at the stake. If I were a witch, I would say that's appropriate, but I'm not, so it isn't. Please, every vote counts, except for the ones that are being blocked by the Republicans. But other than that, every vote counts. And this evening, will we know who the next president will be? Unfortunately not, unless there's a landslide, and there have been a lot of them in California. I'm talking about when the houses slide off the hill because there's too much rain, but right now, not enough rain in California. Either it's forest fires because it's so dry, or it's landslides, houses sliding off cliffs because it's too wet. You can't win in California. Yeah, it's election day. Don't kid yourself. It's a very important day. Please make it known. Shout from the highest hill or the lowest place you can find and make a difference. Many people have already mailed in their votes. Also, their entry into the Publisher's Clearinghouse. You could win $5 million a day for life and have some celebrity come to your door and take pictures of you in the nude. You probably won't win, but they'll always make you feel like you are. But that has nothing to do with it, does it? Please. I don't understand why Election Day isn't on a Saturday. Nobody's working. Everybody's home. What's the problem with that? Or perhaps an entire weekend. And then on Monday, you would know the results of the election. That's too easy. But is that the way it's set up? No. We do it on a weekday when everybody's busy. The hell's that about? What kind of country is this just based on that setup? Think of how great it would be if it was the weekend. You could just run out like for 10 minutes. Be 2 days of voting, man. What's the problem? Why don't they ever ask me how to do this stuff? I wish I was around when they wrote the Constitution or even built the boat or the ship. I would have had some suggestions for them on what the framework should be. But they came up with stuff that's so antiquated. If I was only around when Noah was building the ark, I would have made some architectural adjustments. And two of every animal? Come on, that's hard to do. God. Well, it is Tuesday, and it is election day. Get out and vote.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Sweet Tuesday morning, came a new smile.
Tuesday.
Going up on a Tuesday,
got your girl in the cut, she chooses.
Sun comes up, it's Tuesday morning.
Goodbye, Ruby Tuesday. Who could hang a name on you?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Well, here we are, you and me, and everybody else listening. Today is a very nervous day for most people, including myself. This is a very consequential thing that's happening today. Either this country is going to go down the toilet quickly with a power flush, or it's going to start to see light at the end of the tunnel somehow. It's up to you. The leader of this country is the most important thing going on right now, because we got stuff going on. I don't know where you've been putting your head in the sand, but we got a lot of stuff going on here. And, this is crucial. If you want something to happen and get things back on track and keep us healthy, I know which choice you should make. The other one is selling your soul to the devil. Well, I'm not going to say which is which, although I can tell you, Trump's the Antichrist. But you make your own decisions, doesn't really matter. All right. Well, have you had any food to eat? You need to eat. You look a little emaciated, oddly enough, because usually you're like grossly overweight. It's the stress, isn't it? I know, it's the stress. It's the little black stress that we all feel. Do you own a little black dress? I don't, but women do. I went into my wife's closet, and I was almost suffocated by shoes. Oh my God, what's up with that? Why do women love shoes so much? Men are almost close to it with sneakers. Actually, not even close. What's with the shoes, women? What? Oh, I got to go upstairs and change. My shoes don't match my outfit. I didn't even know you had feet. Are you serious? What's with the feet with the woman thing? The high heels. Why do you do that to yourself? Why do you torture your feet just to look what you think is good? You don't think you look good in regular shoes? What's wrong with you? You go out to party for a good time. Not that it happens just yet. Maybe somewhere down the road you can do that. And yet you wear a nice, you beautiful outfit and you're going to go out and have a good time. And then you wear high heels. It's like you ruin it for yourself. I don't get it. And why so many shoes? Why such a large financial investment in the shoe industry? What is that about? If you're going to invest so much money in shoes, it should be investment in comfort, not in absolute agony and pain. High heels, what's the deal? So you're a little bit taller for a couple of hours. You don't think you got to wear high heels all the time if you don't want to make them think you're tall all the time. And don't be ashamed of your height, except like really short people. That's a little embarrassing. But otherwise, you know, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of anything. People find you attractive for who you are, not because of how much makeup you put on your face or how excruciating your footwear looks. It's time for women to be a little bit more natural. Why not? Why do you have to cover yourself up with everything? What's going on with that? Who taught you this? On the other hand, if women look like men, never showered, wore holes in their shoes, ripped clothes, wrinkled, hair all over the place, hair growing out of your moles on your face, dirt dripping out of your nose, I don't want women to do that. Like men do. Women, how do you even hook up with a man? How do you tolerate it? Do you squint your eyes so you can't see very well? How do you tolerate that? It's about time that men started looking better and caring more about their presentation. And women started caring a little bit less about it. You got to meet in the middle. If you want equality, you got to meet in the middle. Because right now, it's kind of weird. I went supermarket shopping yesterday, and there was this lady. And it seems like the more money you have, the more makeup you put on your face. It's just, I don't understand it. You're investing all your money in makeup. I don't know. I don't understand it. Might as well change your name to Maybelline. Some people understood that joke. Other people didn't. And then there's a third group of people that said, that's a joke. I don't even understand. This lady was wearing way too much makeup, and it was like, wow, Bozo shopping in the store. She literally looked like Bozo, and I know that she thought she looked cool. She thought she looked so freaking good with all this. Her eyebrows were like 7 feet over her eyes. It was just like was constantly looking like surprising, and her hair was like Bufanti. I don't even know what that means, like Harry Bufanti, and just she was impeccably dressed. And lipstick her lips were bleeding, literally bleeding, and so much foundation she could have built a house on it. And she was strutting around like she thought she looked good, but my reaction was, wow, the circus is in town. Get this bozo out of the store before this lady hurts herself. She just looked horrible, man. She looked like she was. She looked like Bob Ross on steroids and painted his face by mistake. Oh, my God. I've been watching Bob Ross shows. Do you know who Bob Ross is? All right, this is a generational divide going on here. Do you know who Bob Ross is? Raise your hand if you do. This is stupid. I can't see your hand. Bob Ross had a show way back in the Wayback Machine. Oh, Wayback Machine. What cartoon? What cartoon? Wayback Machine. Huh? Remember Mr. Peabody? Again, we're getting into a generation gap. You don't know what the hell I'm talking about. And some of you do, but most of you probably don't. Mr. Peabody was a dog, a science dog, and palled around with a kid. You remember the kid's name? It was Sherman. You don't know that, do you? Anyway, What's the point? I don't even know what I was talking about. I have no. What was it? What was my point? I don't know. That's election day, and that's all I know. We have some guests coming up a little bit later on in the program. Please do spend a small amount of time. Go to the polls or something, and vote. Put a mask on, and you'll be fine. You social distance. They make sure you do when you go to the polls. And vote. And even if there's a bunch of Republicans pointing guns at you, don't be intimidated. There won't be. It's not allowed to do. Just vote. It takes no time at all. You need to do it. And when you're finished, you really feel good about yourself. I mean, not that good, but I mean, in comparison to what's going on right now, you feel good about yourself. Like you've had a hand in it. Don't you get excited when people ask you your opinion? I mean, don't you? They're asking you your opinion. They are. So go with it, man. Go with it. I've heard so many stories locally here, friends of mine who are married to people of not the opposite sex. Well, they are the opposite sex. I don't know personally, but they seem to be the opposite sex. But it's the opposite political party. They are vehemently on other sides of the political spectrum. Wife Democrat, husband Republican, wife Republican, husband Democrat, whatever. But my question is, isn't that an automatic divorce? I know we're not supposed to be divided, although that's what Russia wants. And with Trump and Russia, they're dividing the country. Good job, guys. Keep going. Keep going, man. Yeah, destroy the country. You and Russia, man. You, Trumpy and Russian, you know, together we'll destroy this country. I mean, whatever. Hey, whatever. Right? But yeah, I mean, how can you stay married? How can you have a boyfriend with a girlfriend on opposite ends of the political spectrum? What, do you just not talk about politics? How is that possible? How is that possible? I think there should be grounds for divorce. I don't even think you should have to sign papers or go through a divorce attorney or anything like that. I think it should be an automatic divorce. Opposite sides of the political spectrum, there's no hope for you. There's no hope. There's no hope. How can you? At the very soul, you have differing opinions. Oh, my God. That's not understandable at all. I don't know how you do it. Anyway, whatever. Can I get you something? You look a little parched. Do you know what that means? It means you look thirsty. It means you look dry. Like you've been in the desert and there's no water at all. And here I come along. I'm a mirage, by the way. I don't actually exist in real life to you. I'm a mirage. I come and go as I please. You tune me in, I'm there. You don't tune me in, I'm not there. I'm a mirage. And I'm walking around with water, man. And you look parched. You're in the desert. You're lost, quite obviously. And I got water. All right? I got water. And I'm offering it to you. But, whatever. Okay, yeah. People on the other ends of the political spectrum. And then, as I said a few days ago, the other thing that bothers me greatly that I cannot connect to are people that just say, politics, I don't get involved. What are you, lame? Someone take your brains out? Lobotomy? What happened? What's going on? How can you not be involved? Do you even know what's going on? How can you not be involved? Do you know who the president is? Do you know who's running for president? Do you even? Yeah, I don't get involved in politics. I don't follow it. You don't follow it? Where do you live? In what Siberian cave do you live in? You don't follow it? You don't understand. Yeah, you know, I don't. What about global warming and racial relations and things like that? Yeah, I don't really follow it. Do you have a Facebook page? Well, yes, I do. Do you have Instagram? Yes, I do. Then you follow things. You follow. This is the most important thing you should follow. I don't follow that. You follow stupid things then. I don't understand. I just don't understand. When I was born, and then when I was a child and a young adult, I understood a lot of things. I really did. I grew up in what they called the love generation. Yeah. And I'm telling you something, that was before AIDS. And you could have sex with anybody, and we all did. And it was a bunch of fun. Parties like you have no idea. There was smoke, there was drink, and there were people of the opposite sex, or the same, whatever you're into. It was a good time. Music was incredible. It was not bad. But the theme of everything with the Beatles around was love. All you need is love. The theme of everything was love. Peace and love. And that caught an entire generation. And that entire generation at that time seemed like peace and love is going to be spread forever because this generation is all one. They're all together. I had never seen so many people of an age group with the same theme, peace and love. And drugs, but that's besides the point. And sex, but that's besides the point. And I had great hopes for that generation. And who did that generation turn into? This. What happened? What happened to you people? Now the country's more divided than ever. What happened to the peace and love? Where'd it go? Did it just dissipate? Guess what? Get back to the peace and love. It worked. It was a very cool time to be alive. Those of you that did not go through that generation, I feel bad for you. It was nice. Unfortunately, it seems that it was a fleeting moment in our social history. But I really thought that was going to do it, man. It was going to be the road to rainbows and happiness and love and peace and sex and drugs. The road ended. We came to a fork. And a lot of those people took the wrong road. What? Why would you take the wrong road? What happened? So now, at my age now, of ripe old age of 17, you believe that? Count my rings. I'm a little older than 17. Disillusion, man. Disillusion. Disappointed. Oh, God. This is not good. But, you know, you can turn that corner anytime you want. You can drive back to that fork in the road, or maybe not even go backwards. Just get a road construction crew and cut across the field and get on the other road again. How about that? Let's do that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, more program.
Do you throw boring parties? Do your guests stand about with tepid drinks in their hands, vapidly striving for anything interesting to say to anyone? Do they glance at their watches around 9 p.m. and say, "Oh, look at the time"? Your parties need something, and you know it. Your parties need me, Thompson St. Thomas Fancy Bastard. For a gentlemanly, prearranged fee, I will arrive fashionably late to your party, bringing with me that dash of irresistible British charm and a soupçon of the joie de vivre of the French. Soon I'll have your guests regaled with stories of my vacation villa in Saint-Tropez, my zany youthful adventures in boys' school, and that one time I met the prince. Quite a story. For an extra fee, I could be the cheeky one, telling blue jokes and winking roguishly at all the girls. Got a piano? I've got a repertoire. Because what English gent can't just sit down at the ivories and knock out everything from a raucous pub tune to a bit of Gershwin? I know I can. Because I'm Thompson St. Thomas, Fancy Bastard. And I'll see you at your next party. What time shall I arrive?
Hey, good morning, Ron. How are you today?
I'm great, thank you. Sean Slavensky joins us now. He's a recognized healthcare industry innovator, doing it for over 30 years with success, and senior vice president of Walmart Health, held a lot of positions, and here we are. Okay, we're talking about something that we talk about a lot, and that's the COVID deal. Now, testing has always been at the forefront of conversation about this. Are we where we're supposed to be testing-wise?
Yeah, well, you know, Ron, to your point, not only do we all as Americans talk about testing and the virus a lot, but we think about it way more than we even talk about it. So yeah, it's constantly constantly in our lives and our thinking. And the truthful answer to the testing equation is no.
Yeah.
When you look at groups like Harvard and Northwestern University who have done studies showing that to really get a handle on the outbreaks, we need to be doing about 4 million tests a day.
Yeah.
And to really control the disease itself, maybe up to 14 million, and we're only doing about a million or so at this point in time per day, we've got a long way to go. But luckily, we are making great progress as an industry, diagnostics, and with our company, BioIQ, that I'm proud to be the CEO of, we are making strides to bring this out to the masses in a way that get us closer to that 4 million number at least and beyond as we progress through the rest of this year and into early next year.
Yeah, that's quite a task to bring the numbers up so high testing-wise, which is something we should have done at the outset, but of course there are certain bureaucratic people that poo-pooed that whole effort. Nonetheless, we're on the road to it now. Is it possible that a vaccine could come out even before widespread testing comes out?
So, yes, it's possible. But what most people don't realize, because there's just so much information out there, some of it real, some of it speculative, some of it political, etc.
Yeah.
Even if the vaccine came out tomorrow, that doesn't mean that,
right,
number one, the people receiving it are going to be instantly immune.
Right.
They don't really know yet for sure.
Right, right.
And, are there going to need to be boosters? Is this going to be an annual thing like,
right,
a flu vaccine? There's still a lot of questions out there.
Right.
So that means that testing is going to have to come along right with the vaccine,
yeah, anyway,
until we know for sure.
Yeah. Or, you're right.
Large
immunity. Yeah. Or no matter what, we have to have the testing.
It's just like the flu today, right? You can get a flu shot.
Yeah.
But if you get sick, you're probably still going to go to the doctor and get a test to see if by chance you have the flu.
Absolutely.
And that might be where COVID ends up over time as well.
Boy, wouldn't it be great? And I don't know what direction you're going in here, but it seems that it's the lab work that holds things up. And by the time you get the results, you've been around. I don't. Is that a road where, like, a home pregnancy test? Same kind of deal.
Yeah. You're exactly right, Ron. The issue has been the capacity to process all the tests that are happening right now, let alone all the other tests that people are doing for their regular healthcare needs.
Yes.
Right. This was an add-on, not a separate thing altogether. So it's balancing out regular healthcare testing with the need for COVID and growing that. Yes, to your point, the technologies and testing capabilities that are available all over the country, rapid tests for flu, pregnancy tests, et cetera, those are actually coming for COVID. We've seen probably 3 to 4 years worth of research being done in 3 or 4 months and going through emergency approval through the FDA. I think we'll start seeing some of those coming to market in a meaningful and accurate way before the end of the year, hopefully.
That's great.
That'll change the game completely.
The end of the year is, I can taste it now, the end of the year, actually. We're only a few months away.
Right along with the turkey and the Christmas cookies, right?
Yeah. That's what I go for. Yeah. The problem is now you get tested and then you may be clear, and then 3 days later you pick it up, and so by the time you get the results, you could have contracted it. So it gets a little complicated.
Well, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
The speed of getting a result, even on the best days, sometimes isn't quick enough for living your normal daily life.
Right.
What we really need is everyone having access to tests in their home that they can do quickly and get results in, 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes.
Correct.
And just like you keep a bottle of aspirin in the cabinet or Tylenol, you might keep a handful of COVID tests available too and do those on a regular basis based on your exposure rate.
Well,
so
there you go.
We will get there, but we're not there yet.
Yeah, just like we test for the other things that we look out for. I mean, that's, at a point that's not all that uncommon. But we have to get there. You're right. How are you able to step this up? Are you doing something special that others are not doing?
Well, best analogy that I use is comparing the regular typical diagnostic laboratory industry to a yellow taxi cab company.
Right.
And BioIQ is Uber. We don't own the drivers and we don't own the cars, so to speak. Therefore, we're not limited by that capacity. We've partnered with labs all over the country. We've been doing that for 15 years for regular diagnostic testing, and it gives us the ability to flex up and down testing and processing capabilities as needed, where if you just own your own labs and you have your own tests only, you're limited by what you have versus what can be and what's available in the country. And that's the difference with us.
I mean, it's major.
We're spreading it around, and we're managing the quality of that.
Yeah.
Like Uber, I can hit a button and get a ride. Doesn't matter, because there's always a car and a driver somewhere.
Excellent. I mean, it makes all the difference in the world. I mean, everybody could return to work. That would be resolved. It'd be something. So we're looking forward to that. It's good to hear that the private industry is taking the lead. Unfortunately, government has kind of let us down on this one. But private industry said, no, we're stepping up, and they did, and that's important. That's a good indication.
It certainly is. As frustrated and disappointed as people can be with the government, yeah. they should have an equal yet opposite optimism
Correct.
About what private industry is doing around this.
Correct. Wonderful. All right. How do we get more information about this?
Sure. People can just go to our website at BioIQ. That's BioIQ.com. Mm-hmm. And they can learn a whole bunch of things there.
Wonderful. Do you encourage private companies to call you to ask you questions as well, employers, that kind of thing?
Absolutely. We mostly work with large insurers and employers across the country. That's our main avenue of doing mm-hmm. business. So we do it all the time and every day.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure, Sean.
Likewise. Stay healthy.
Thank you, too. Well, that'll do it for me today. Thank you for your great indulgence. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. If you haven't voted, please go out and vote. If you did, good for you. Let's make this consequential. Okay, thank you so much. You go now. Go do what you need to do. You remember Trump's battle cry back in 2016? He threw out the phrase, "What have you got to lose?" Now you know.